Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, 2 weeks ago, we began exploring this thing called the Christian worldview. It's kind of like a set of biblical glasses that we can wear that help us to interpret the world as it is, with all of its ecstasies, but all of its agonies as well. It seems that God has been working throughout history, and we're learning to see what he's up to right now. It's a story, it's a drama. I guess you could say it's a story, a drama with God as the director and you and me as bit actors in it. And we've discovered something about the director of this drama with the last couple of weeks. Last week we saw the drama's opening scene, creation, this good world that God created, and humanity is the pinnacle of that creation. Tonight, the crisis in the script, so to speak. The crisis that helps us understand what has gone wrong, because this world is not the pristine, beautiful place that we were describing last week. Michael Goheen is the co-author of Living at the Crossroads, and he's kind of journeying us through this notion of getting a Christian worldview of the whole of life. And he's back with us again. Michael, hi.
Hello.
This is really an important section because if we just paint the picture of this wonderful place that God created, anybody who's bumped up against life recently will say, well, that doesn't seem to be the world that I'm living in. It is broken. There's something gone wrong with it. Most people, no matter what their religious background or how connected they've been to church, will have known about that Garden of Eden story and the snake that comes and has a little word to Eve, and in the end Eve and Adam disobey God to eat fruit of this tree that they weren't to touch. They take it and they eat it, and then they bring the fall, the sin that actually comes into the world that starts to mar it. First of all, there's an important reason why that tree was in the garden in the first place. Because that was the first question, isn't it? You know, why did God put a tree in the garden and say, don't touch that tree?
Right. Why didn't he leave well enough alone, so to speak, and sort of say, this is a good world, why give it extra arbitrary command?
Yes.
Because in a sense, it might seem arbitrary in that if God had said, don't lie, makes sense. You don't want to break a relationship. Don't steal. You don't want to. But why not eat from that perfectly good tree with perfectly good fruit? That he created. Somebody once said, obviously didn't have a high view of this story. He said, this is a silly story about a stolen apple. And number one, we don't know it was an apple. It was a fruit. I think it was probably a mango. But who knows what kind of fruit it was.
Particularly tempting, is that
yes,
what you're saying?
Yes, particularly tempting. But more importantly, it was not a silly story. It's God as a loving father who knows full well that his creatures must learn obedience. I mean, it says in Hebrews that Jesus had to learn obedience, and he was the Son of God, perfect without sin. And so it's kind of like God is saying, what I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you to trust me and to obey me. And that this command will focus that so that you trust me just because I said so. Then you will experience the fullness and the flourishing of human life here. It remains, of course, the same today, that if we're to flourish as human beings, it's because we've learned to trust and because we've learned to obey. So that's why that tree was put there, I believe.
So Adam and Eve then break the deal. God says, don't eat of this particular fruit. And they do. They pick and they eat. Right. They actually disobey God. And then we see these ramifications. And there are many ramifications. I want to explore those ramifications in just a minute because it's more than just what we've normally thought. Why ramifications, though? Why was there a curse brought on the ground and on the human being and on the beasts of the field? Why didn't God just, at the moment, forgive it?
In a sense, that's a good question. We don't know, other than to say that this is the way the Bible tells the story, what God chose to do. God could have snapped his fingers, and God could have undid everything immediately and say, oh, Adam, what were you thinking? Let's start again. He could have done that, but he didn't. For whatever reason, and in a sense, you start to explore questions that the biblical story itself doesn't answer, and these could be very speculative. The story that is told, that we have to confine ourselves to, is the story that they did not live by the word of God. They chose to live by the lie of Satan, and in so doing, brought the world that they had authority over, the world that they had an organic central connection to, under the whole curse of God. And there's a sense in which, because Adam and Eve, who were rulers over that world, had become into sin, the whole rest of the creation was going to be brought into the train of their rebellion, sadly.
Let's talk about the ramifications then. Just what did that act unleash on the world?
I'm convinced, quite frankly, that sin is often trivialized in its scope. That is, we often reduce it simply to individual acts of disobedience. Mm-hmm. In its power, we often see that we don't recognize the power of sin and the gravity, just how bad and awful it is. And I think each one of those three things has to be rectified. The scope of sin, it's far more than simply I lie and I steal and I there's all kinds of sexual sin and verbal sin and so on. It is that. But it starts by breaking the relationship between God and humanity. Humanity is meant to respond to God in trust, love, and obedience. It breaks that immediately. We see Adam and Eve hiding from God. They're kicked out of the garden, that place of communion and fellowship. It breaks that relation, alienates them from God. But secondly, it breaks their relationship. Immediately, they're blaming one another. You know, Eve did it. You know, Eve caused me to do this. And there's immediately the human relationships that are broken. And the story that unfolds begins to show murder and oppression and cruelty and all kinds of things. So it affects our relationship to God, affects our relationship to each other, but also affects our relationship to the non-human creation. Mm-hmm. We are put as stewards over that creation to be responsible, to care for it, to develop it, to delight in it. And now that creation is brought into the train of our rebellion. And we read in Romans 8 that it's groaning, under the pain of that curse, it longing for human beings to be liberated from sin so it too can be liberated from sin. Mm. So what you've got is a full scope, our relationship to God, our relationship to each other, and a relationship to the non-human creation.
I often think of the fourth chapter in the book of Hosea that talks about Israel, God's people, that have gone bankrupt again, morally bankrupt. You know, the judges are corrupt, the prophets are corrupt, the priests are corrupt, everybody's lying and stealing and cheating. And then it has this interesting little phrase, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea are dying. It's like there is environmental impacts to actually what we have done. Yeah. It does. Yeah. It's very pervasive, isn't it?
Yeah. And to call to mind the book of Hosea also shows the gravity of sin when he purposely portrays sin in terms of adultery. You know, those of us who married and love our spouses could not imagine them committing adultery. And if they were to do it, how we would feel betrayed. And so you feel the gravity of it. But absolutely, Hosea there and other places. I mean, the book of Revelation says, I'll destroy those who destroy my creation. Our stewardship has been bad. And the way we're treating the creation today, I'm sure, is very displeasing to God.
We're talking about the Christian worldview on Open House tonight. This is part of a series that we're doing with Michael Goheen, who is the co-author of this book, Living at the Crossroads. It's an introductory book on Christian worldview. We're learning to see the world as the Bible actually portrays it to us. So here we've got this world. In many ways, when we talk about sin entering the world, the good, perfect, ordered world, sin actually disorders it, doesn't it? It actually unravels, starts to unravel the order that God had actually put it to some degree. There's still order maintained.
Yeah, it starts to distort it and twist it. And disorder, not in the sense of the order falls apart, but like, for example, the order for marriage starts to be contaminated and polluted. The order of our thinking, the order of our emotional response, the order for friendship, the order for politics, economics, all of it begins to be touched by sin. So we are called to, for example, to respond to God's order economically, to care for one another by stewarding God's creation and provide services and goods for one another, and we care for one another, and instead it becomes an exploitation. So we're still living economically. We're still using God's resources, but now we're doing it in exploitative ways. We're doing it for selfish reasons. Mm. The order for God's economic life, so to speak, remains the same. But our response to that is one of selfishness, and we end up paying the price. You know, when God orders marriage and says, look, be faithful, husband to wife, wife to husband, live in as one for a whole life, if we don't live like that and not as one, we stop communicating or adultery takes place or something, and it begins to destroy the marriage. Mm-hmm. Because we want a good marriage, you live within the order God has created. You want good economic life, you live within the... And so what happens is God's order becomes twisted, distorted, polluted, contaminated by our sin.
I think of the other great theme that we looked at last week when we talked about humanity being made in God's image.
Yeah.
Sin kind of mars that image, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It actually muddies it up, and we don't respond as God created us to respond, which is to be like him, to actually reflect his very nature in the world and in our actions and in our world.
Exactly. And so we maintain the abilities, as it were, of the image of God, so we can still speak, we can still love, we can still sense justice, all these aspects to our created humanity as God's image. But now we misuse our speaking. We misuse our ability to respond with feelings. We misuse our ability to think. So we maintain the structural dimensions of what it means to be human. But now those structural dimensions are misdirected by sin, instead of toward God, away from God, to be something that it is no longer pleasing to God.
Malcolm Muggeridge, the British journalist, I think it was him who actually said, you know, the doctrine of sin is the one Christian doctrine that is scientifically verifiable. You know, we can all see it, we can all feel it, we can all touch it.
Yeah.
What is the difference between the Christian worldview of sin, the Christian understanding of sin, and other notions of what has gone wrong with the world?
Often, an evolutionary worldview would be that there's still something, remnants of our beastly nature, that we just haven't evolved high enough yet. What's fascinating, I think, is that you'll see more and more the language of evil in the public square today. 15 years ago, that word you wouldn't have seen, that word evil, because we were perfecting our nature. We were part of this big story of progress where we were getting better, and you didn't speak of evil. But now you're seeing that word evil come back into our vocabulary because it's evident that there is evil in our world.
A couple of planes flying into a couple of World Trade Centers.
Exactly. You see evil. We acknowledge that there's human responsibility in evil when we speak of evil in this way. It's not, as maybe the Eastern worldviews, a matter of being incomplete, not quite having arrived yet. Augustine once said that sin or evil is nothing. But what he meant by that is it's not something you can tangibly point to and grab. What sin is a power that twists God's creation. Satan and sin have no power to create anything, only to twist what is good. And that notion of sin in many ways is unique when it talks about what's gone wrong with our world and in terms of any other worldview.
I think it's such an important thing to actually grasp. Otherwise, we walk through life with a very twisted understanding of what the world actually is. Thankfully, that's not the only scene in the drama, though. That's not the final scene. There's actually another couple to go on. And that's when we start talking about the whole restoration, the whole mission that God starts undertaking. And that's what we're going to be talking about this time next week. Michael, thanks again for all your help. It's great walking through this notion of Christian worldview.
Thank you.
Michael Goheen, who's the co-author of Living at the Crossroads, an introduction to Christian worldview. If you've missed any of the series, theopenhouse.net.au is where you can download the podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.